Please join me in a prayer about our message this day. Father God, may the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight this day. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. For those who do not know me well, I have lived in Chesterland for a long time. But I have not always lived in Chesterland. I spent several years of my life in Euclid before we moved here. When my mother remarried, my new dad built a home here on Chillicothe Road in Chesterland, not far from the church. And we moved here when I was between 10 and 11 years old. It was not long after that move that we were sitting at the table in the dining room having dinner one night, and the phone rang, and my mother got up and went into the hallway to answer it. I could not hear every word she was saying, but I heard part of it. And from the part I heard, I knew something was very wrong. I just didn't know what. When she got off the phone, she told us that my granddad McVeigh had just died from an automobile crash in Florida. He failed to keep his car in control as he went around a sharp curve, and he was killed by the impact with a tree. We were in total shock. I can still remember it as clearly as it happened yesterday. My granddad McVeigh was not just any granddad to me. After my parents' divorce, my mother had a very hard time making ends meet. And granddad McVeigh bought a two-story home in Euclid, right next to Shorehaven Lutheran Church, and allowed us to live upstairs while my uncle and aunt and cousins lived downstairs. Without his support, I don't think our family would have been able to stay together. I know that was an issue. Granddad had had a tryout in the minor leagues. We both loved baseball. He had played a lot of baseball, and he was an avid Indians fan, as was I. I am sure that many of you could share some shocking stories of unexpected death in your family, too, or in the family of some friends. The death of a family member or close friend can bring sorrow in any situation, as the Dean family could tell you this morning. But an unexpected death often leads to serious questions and doubts about God. The question I bet has been asked many times, I've heard it several times. If there is a good God who loves us, why does he allow things like this to happen? And that's where knowing the important things about God and having a biblical worldview can be a tremendous help. And actually, for those who want to look for it, God has revealed the answer to that question in the Holy Scriptures. God speaks to us in Ezekiel 18, and he says, "Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father and the soul of the Son. The soul who sins shall die." And God had given a warning about this to Adam in the Garden of Eden many, many years earlier. God had provided a beautiful garden for his creation. Man was to work in the garden and take care of it. But God gave Adam a warning along with it. God says, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you shall surely die. And Adam and the wife God gave him, named Eve, disobeyed God. And they brought sin and death into the world. They destroyed the holy state in which they had been created. And they destroyed the close relationship they had with God. And then as a result, children were no longer born in the image of God. They were born in the sinful image of their parents. And children are still born today under the curse of sin and the penalty of death. And that will continue to be the case until Jesus returns and puts an end to the mess that mankind has created. Now, I have had a couple of people tell me that they don't think it's fair that we should all be punished for what Adam and Eve did. And we better get something straight for our own sakes. God created us and all that there is, and He cannot be expected to conform to our sinful conclusions about what is fair and what is not fair. Instead, we need to understand the nature of God and do everything that we can to conform to His standard of holiness. And even if we do that, that's not going to save us. We will probably be much better off for doing what God wants. But it doesn't save us. Only Jesus can save us. He is quoted in Luke 19 as saying, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." And the good news is God still cared for His creation even after we destroyed it. And in His love, He did provide a solution to our problem which was acceptable to Him and met His standards. That there must be a holy sacrifice for our sins. A sacrifice we could not possibly get. Benjamin Franklin once summed up what is really important in life. He said, "Think of these things. From whence you came, where you are going, and to whom you must account." Unquote. It is certainly not a good thing to dwell on death all the time, or even the majority of the time, but to ignore the reality of it is just plain foolish. Someday, unless the Lord comes during our lifetime, we will depart this world and stand before God. God had a warning for Adam and Eve. And He has a warning for us. We are not all going to the same place. There is a place called hell. And Jesus tells us that unless we repent, we will go there. And many of us believe that too many people today are pursuing an earthly paradise. That's what their life is focused on. rather than the God who gave us life. They need to be warned. I'll repeat in a loving way. If you do not have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you really don't have anything for long. You may have a wonderful house, a fancy car, all sorts of money in the bank. None of those are sins. But all that could be gone by tomorrow. You won't be taking any of it with you. But if you have Jesus, you have heaven. And you are even richer than Bill Gates. Think of it. You have an invitation to eternal life in heaven with the Son of God. And today in our readings, all three of them, God gives us a picture of things and reveals important things. His Apostle John had a vision of things in heaven. God the Father will be close by, and so will Jesus. He gives us the assurance that there will be someday nothing more of which we must be afraid. We won't have to worry about some fanatic from ISIS driving a truck or a car into a group of people and killing them, or a bomb blowing all of us up. We will be at peace. There won't be any more babies or kids dying. We won't have to worry about aches and pains and getting old. There won't be family fights, failures and letdowns. There won't be any more rejection, racism, and loneliness. The Apostle John tells us in the vision of the future he had, he said this of God's people there, "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." It will be, for those who believe in Jesus, the end of tears. Meanwhile, all of us will have trouble at some time. Some of us will have more than our share of trouble. Too many, life will not be fair. As we all labor together with this spiritual disease we have, which the Bible calls sin. But stay close to the things of God and stick with Jesus. He gives us some words of comfort in the Gospel of Matthew, Pastor Mark read to you today, when he says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And finally, we have the words of encouragement from 1 John to keep in mind. John wrote, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are." Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. So you see, God has been fair to us after all. What Adam and Eve lost, we can reclaim through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hold on to him, and you are promised a great inheritance and a wonderful future. Amen.